Did we mention the wind earlier?
I think it's probably self-explanatory.
We didn't.
It's the third hoser on this podcast. Do you want to mention it?
So creatively, we're kind of tapped.
Yeah.
Is what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Is that we can't even think of a cold open now.
No.
Yeah. We're not supposed to reference the cold open.
No. It's kind of an amateur move.
It is.
This over here on this side is all pro, all the time.
All right, we're rolling then. You want to just get into the show?
Yeah.
Because I got some swimming to do.
Okay.
Did you bring your trunks?
I'm wearing them.
That's good thinking. I'm going to do the awkward towel change later.
I'm just going to get wet and let it dry.
Did you drive in these?
Yeah.
Wait, and by drive, I mean, did your wife drive while you rode?
I drive almost all the time. True story.
That's not what we talked about last time.
I know, but that's kind of the way it's become.
All right, okay, hey, let's do this and get in the
water. This is the longest cold open ever.
Let's do this and get in the water.
Okay.
Separately.
Okay.
Yeah.
But close to each other.
Well, arm's length. Got to be safe.
Yeah. I'm not a strong swimmer.
Hello and welcome to episode 242 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada, and with me as always is...
Still Adam, still at the beach.
Still at the beach. Spanish Banks, what a great place.
Yeah.
We're here early in the afternoon, but I'm staying till the sun sets.
I'm also staying.
We're going to have sushi at the beach. That's to me, that's Vancouver living.
Okay.
So I should also mention, since we are at the beach, we are sitting in the wide open, probably getting sunstroke right now.
Yep.
Hard to say. If you hear a little wind noise... It's because we're at the beach.
Yeah, there's wind here.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I could filter that out, but I'm not going to.
Perfect. We want the authentic beach experience.
Authenticity, yeah.
If you don't live near a beach, you're welcome.
I'm hoping some guy's going to come over and kick sand in my face during the podcast.
Jackson has left.
Jackson?
So from last week, you'll remember Jackson. Not here anymore.
Yeah.
Dad took him home.
Yeah, his dad was a little bit lazy. Just sat in the car and yelled.
Yeah.
I feel like he could have walked up and got Jackson.
Yeah, I think so too.
Got his shirt for him. Good job, Dad. What's going on, Adam? Amazon. I have an Amazon story.
Yeah.
Hey, you've bought things on Amazon.
Lots.
Have you ever returned something?
I have not.
I have.
Okay.
I bought the sunglasses I talked about.
Okay.
Like 2-3 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
I got those sunglasses and they were too small, or my face is too big. I'm not sure.
Combination of face and smallness.
No, I bought the ones that were too small and it's a problem. So.
Did they have them in big face?
They have, yeah. the BFVs, the big face version. No, I don't even have a big face. I just bought the super, super small ones.
Right.
Like even Emily, they're like too small for her.
Right.
And so. Emily's my dog.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Yeah.
Sure. Anyways, no, so...
she has a huge face, by the way.
Massive. We should have called her Pumpkinhead. This really would have been the appropriate name. I had to return them. And I ordered the proper pair, which will come here in, I don't know, however long it takes, a couple weeks for these ones. But I thought, man, how do you even return them? Well, there's a link. You can just click on it. And it gives you full instructions on how to return things.
Great.
You put them back in the box, and it'll tell you, hey, we'll refund your money, except for the $5 return shipping, which you have to pay for.
Right.
Which seems reasonable.
Seems reasonable.
And we'll just basically, we'll take that off your refund, and then you print out. They give you a little thing to print out on your computer, the postage, glue it right in the box.
Nice.
And just fire it, hand it, and then throw it in the garbage, evidently.
Okay.
I think the garbage man just comes and delivers it for you. I'm not sure how that part goes. We'll find out. But no, and then you fire it off at the post office and done, taken care of.
Okay, so your refund comes, like, right away?
Well, I'm assuming it goes right back on my MasterCard as soon as they receive it.
Like, that's what I mean. Do they wait for the item to get back there?
Yes, otherwise that's a poor business model.
Yeah, I just would think that they would know pretty quickly if you're scamming them.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But we'll find out. But okay. No, I think they wait, and then it says like 2-3 business days, something like that. That part I'm not worried about.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't my last $70.
Okay.
So as long as it shows up sometime, I'm good to go. Point being, I can't wait for my new sunglasses, because I'm wearing the 1991 Brandon Walsh Clubmasters right now. And these are not my go-to sunglasses.
Right.
So there's that. However, when you buy your sunglasses,
yeah,
click through our site.
Okay.
Everybody wins that way.
Great.
What is going on, Adam?
Wedding.
That's later on when you shot something interesting.
Nothing.
Okay, I'll tell you what's going on.
Okay, you tell me.
Somebody invented a real invisible camera.
Wow.
I know.
But it's not called that.
No, that we didn't copyright anything, of course, because it's not really a thing. But I actually got an email from Chris Marquardt, who I did the invisible camera with, and said, hey, FYI, check this out. So some guy built what looks like our invisible camera, but red. It's a red see-through plexiglass, and which he uses to do like, what do you call it, wet plate photography?
Sure.
And so essentially it's like you're in a dark room with the red light. But you can see in the camera, but it doesn't affect the image because it filters out the red light.
Right. Okay.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Happens.
And get any royalties on this?
My lawyers are involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I know, and actually,
do you think it was spawned from the invisible camera?
No.
You don't.
No, I think enough time has passed, and nobody really gives a care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was pretty cool because it looks an awful lot like the invisible camera.
Yeah, but I mean, just if someone who is technically good at building this kind of thing saw that video and thought, "Hmm, I might be able to make something like that that actually works." You don't think even that.
No, there's a guy in the Czech Republic who's doing my comic books, though.
Yes, yeah, that happened.
That one's 100%.
Yeah, no, that one's for sure. No,
yeah.
That's don't even bring that up. That still, I'm still a sore point for me.
I would be surprised if he'd seen the invisible camera. I don't know. I mean, I guess a number of people did see it, so it was out there. I'm going to find out.
Okay.
Let's
get
email.
To the bottom.
You know what? No. How about you guys find out? This is where we go to the people. I always hear about the social media and stuff, the power of social media. Maybe our listeners tweet the guy or email the guy and find out.
Great. He's going to get 3 tweets.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed.
By the same guy.
Yeah. Me.
You and your dad.
Me and Marquardt are going to just bombard him with queries.
Yeah.
No, but if anybody wants to find out, you can find this guy. I think I read about it on one of the popular websites. I forget which one it was.
Okay.
Google or something.
Sure.
Google's popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Now.
Yes.
Did you shoot anything interesting?
Yes.
Yeah, what'd you do? I was there.
We shot, wedding photos. But I think you did too, because you shot some getting ready photos for the guys on that wedding, right?
Oh, that's right.
So you're part of the team photography group that is Schwartz Photography.
Have you delivered yours yet?
No.
Me neither.
No.
And I took very few.
Yeah. I took a lot.
Yeah. How many did you... Well, first of all, it was my sister's wedding.
Yeah.
It was the reason I flew over here with the family. And, she did ask me, hey, listen, they're going to... the groomsmen are going to go to a barbershop, get their hair cut, get a hot shave, play some pool. There's a pool table in there.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And can you go take some photos down there? And I thought, all right.
Yeah.
No, I was happy to do so. But I had packed light, and so I hadn't brought a flash. And I really didn't know what to expect from this place. I figured, like, I'd take, you know, both my 5Ds. All I brought was my 85 and my 50mm lens. That's all I brought from Germany. But that's plenty. That's
all I used the entire, for the whole, everything.
Right.
Yeah.
But I borrowed my sister. My sister has a little 430 EX2 flash, so I borrowed that. And just in case I needed to bounce some light, which I did for a couple of photos, but not much at all. And I went and shot. The barbershops are kind of fun to shoot in. Although this one was it was okay. It was nice, really nice barbershop. Really funky place, really, you know, again, with the pool table, you know it's going to look good.
Yeah, that's kind of fun, too.
Yeah, it's not your old-timey. It's like your old-timey, but nice. And so, but have you ever shot photos of a guy getting a hot shave before?
No, can't say that I have.
Yeah, it's not interesting. You end up getting 9 or 10 shots up the guy's nose.
Yeah.
Which is about all.
Because they're kind of lean back, right?
Well, yeah, they sit you back and they do the hot towel for 45 minutes or something. Like I lost track of time. But they do the hot towel, and you kind of want to get that because it's part of the experience, and you're documenting what happens. But then you realize it's not a good photo at all. Like, there's no angle that you can get that goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. Wow, you did it. You know, and then
you really got shaved, man.
Yeah. There's no...
Shaved the heck out of you.
That is... Who wants a Pulitzer? You're going to win for this one. Yeah. So, anyway, I'm sorry, that guy just wiped out, and I got distracted. That guy just fell down in the sea. That was awesome. So then when they do the hot shave part, the actual shaving, it looks cool, because you have the straight razor.
Yeah.
But even then, there's only so much variety.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to get? You want to get the shaving cream on his face, and the first scrape, so you can see the shaving cream being gone.
With just the one spot.
And you see the fact that it's a straight razor.
And then you're done.
So you're one and done.
Yeah.
But you sort of drove all that way, and you're like, well, I better get 9 or 10 more of these.
Yeah.
And then just delete them on the way home. That's what you end up doing. But no, I got the groomsmen playing some pool, and he had his nephew was one of the groomsmen.
Yeah,
who was like, I'm gonna say, 12 or 13.
Not even
11.
Yeah.
He was really into whatever that little video game he was playing. I'm not sure what the kids play.
I don't.
It wasn't an iPhone.
Yeah,
it was something like that.
There's other things. I don't know what they're all called.
But they had to basically tear it out of his hands, go stand him by the pool table so I could snap a picture of him pretending
that
to play pool.
That he was in, yeah.
Yeah, and then he would run over and grab his game again. And I was like, well, at this point, what are you doing with that photo of him playing pool?
Yeah.
You know, because he wasn't, you know, you were there. So, anyway, so that was my end of it. But now your end of it, what was your day like?
Well, I did getting ready photos. So
okay.
The girls were getting ready in a hotel room near the venue. So I went to do photos in the room getting ready. So, you know, I think photos that everyone's familiar with, you know, the shoes, the bouquet, like some of the mm-hmm. little detail photos that, again, not something that I really do. I mean, I'm fine. I can do them and they look fine, but it's not something I even like to do. Like those detail shots.
Well, those ones,
they're just kind of shots you need. I don't know, but I usually, you know what?
Well, but at my own wedding, because we didn't have someone to do that, the next day I took all those elements and photographed the close-ups of the shoes and all that. I haven't seen those pictures since.
Well, that's what I mean. And I do get that people seem to like the shoes. And I like to do the shoes with the bouquet. I find it looks nicer with the color of the bouquet. I like to photograph it often on a bed because it's nice, clean, white background. So I'm pretty happy usually with how the shoes and bouquet photo kind of turns out, except for I wonder the same. Does anybody ever look at this ever again? They kind of look, cool, and then gone. It's gone from your memory. So I also don't spend a lot of time on those things either. So, I mean, again, same thing with the dress. I know you have to take that photo, but at the same time, aren't you just going to look at the ones that you're in the dress? You know, like that seems to be more meaningful to me, you know?
Yes. The one place I will disagree with you is when you see those pictures done well, the one out of 1,000, like done by someone like Amber, for instance, they are done really well.
But still, what are you doing with that shot?
Well, no, but they are really artsy. Like I've seen some of those ones where like, I'm like, oh, wow, that is really well. Again, I'm not framing it.
Yeah.
But it is really well done. Now, the other 999, they're there.
And also, how much time are you going to invest in that photo when you've got a timeline and other things to photograph? I get it if you got 4 hours to do this.
Yeah.
Or if you've got a day with the dress, hey, I'm going to take the dress on the town and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take it to all the sites and I'll get something good eventually, right? But in the hotel room hanging up, it's just kind of like, all right, I'll take a shot of that and moving on. And to me, that's kind of my take on it. I want to get really good photos of the people and just... hopefully some candid stuff, some post stuff. But what was interesting about their room was a ton of window light, did not shoot a single flash picture.
Okay.
Ton of window light, all directions. It was a really bright, overcast day. So lots of like soft mm-hmm. light coming in from every window. So she was getting ready. And again, your sister also being, you know, someone who takes a lot of photos, sort of knew to position herself close to a window,
mm-hmm.
which again, I thought great because, you know, close to
also,
this.
Also, she's an exhibitionist.
Yes, so that too. So they had these, you know, the white, I don't know what you call them, the white blinds. They're not blinds, but, you know, the sheer kind of
yeah.
white. So basically pulled those blinds closed, and then it became almost a perfect white background. Because all that soft light filling in behind her, and we positioned her just a couple feet from the white. Now, to expose her properly was going to completely blow out this white background. I loved it. I knew from the first click, I'm like, we don't need any flash in here. This is going to look great, and it's totally clean. Like,
mm-hmm.
so you could still tell whether I bring the whites up or down, I can make it look completely like a white background, or I can give it the lines of the sheer blinds behind them so you know, oh, here's a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, if you ever find yourself in that situation, especially for something formal like this, because you have nice soft color if you want it, you have great black and whites like that. Like, black and whites look so great because the white dress, again, properly exposed with just that clean white behind her, looks so great. And so when I looked at a few of those photos and went to black white, I was like, oh my God, these look great. and again, it just was one of those situations, just walked into it, didn't have to do anything, clicked right away and just realized proper exposure on your subject
okay.
equals that.
I'm going to disagree with you there. You had to do something. You had to know what you're doing.
Well, yeah, I
you can't just walk in with your iPhone and go, all right, well, I'm awesome.
No, I did bring a gray card for that. And I yeah. did just make sure all I did was basically take my wife, position her where I thought I was going to get the good light, snap the gray card for exposure on the person,
mm-hmm.
and then saw what the background did and said, "Went, wow, that's cool," and then just went with that. They did most of their getting ready, and then they did little groups and stuff all in front of that same backdrop. The other plus to that is, you know, the edit, when it comes time for the editing, it's a lot easier to do that editing when they're shot in a very similar fashion with a similar light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to go to each one, like you're cropping and things, but I'm not going to do a zillion different white balance checks on those photos.
Right.
So it is nice that way. So there was the getting ready, and all of the photos were basically done with an 85 millimeter on one full frame, and I think the 85 might have been on the, I can't remember which was which, but 85 on one of the full frames with the 50 on the other full frame. And so when I just wanted something a little wider, I just basically grabbed the other camera body. Mm-hmm. They were set to the same settings. Good tip that we've talked about in the past, but should just a reminder to people, is if you're going to shoot a wedding with multiple camera bodies, make sure that you do the time check, like that you set your mm-hmm. camera bodies to the exact same time, because then when you dump them back on your computer, you want to have them sort of in the sequence of the day.
Yes.
You don't want to be pulling photos, oh, this one's over here, and I'm going to try to figure out where it landed in the day.
Yeah.
So I made sure to do that. That was you chirping in my head that I should mm-hmm. do that. And then we did photos, you know, all the ceremony stuff, which here is my concern. Of all the photos you take in the day, here's my concern. Big high ceilings, which were white, but there was brown, which had like brown kind of posts all over the ceilings.
Brown timber, yeah.
Brown timber sort of in the ceilings. Big venue with window on one side. That window was way too far away from where the mm-hmm. bride and groom were going to be, and it was very dark. It was
yeah.
it like, I'm saying that based on having a 6D, which almost sees in the dark, very dark. So now the question becomes, do you shoot like without flash because you're going to have like, I don't know, 13 seconds of each person walking by, and then now I'm going to have a completely, I'm going to have to shoot at like 6400 ISO on my 6D to shoot a fast enough shutter speed where it's not going to blur, or I'm going to have to shoot on flash, but then the flash is going to have a little recycle time because I'm going to eat up a lot of flash if I shoot on a lower ISO. So what I ended up doing is, after a few test shots, was I ended up shooting at like an 800 ISO and getting a little bit of ambient light, and then shooting the flash and ETTL, and just kind of figuring, all right, well, I'm going to get a little bit of grain, but I'm not going to get overwhelmed with grain, and that's going to give the flash a little bit faster recycle time.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the kind of problem solving going in my head to think, dark park venue for this is tough, and then I'm going to bounce light, which is going to be on every shot, is going to be bounced in a different spot because they're moving, so I'm probably moving.
Right.
And what I found was it works fine, but doing the white balance and stuff on those photos, which I haven't done yet, is not going to be fun.
Black and white.
Yeah, it's going to be black and white for the most part. Some of them it's going to work out, but every time that the light, the flash, oh, that was the other thing. There was a disco ball up in the ceiling. Uh-huh. So anytime the flash hits the disco ball, it sprays a light pattern all over the place. So some of the photos, it's just like, I can't use that. It's got like these spots of light, uh-huh, which at first I was trying to figure out, where the hell did that come from? And then I realized, that's the disco ball.
Well, she got married. The venue she got married in was also where the reception was later. That's why it wasn't a disco ball in church.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So it was an all-in-one. So that was the most challenging part of the day. And with just, again, of the recycle time, blah, blah, blah. But once they got up and standing, that part of the wedding's a lot easier because they're pretty much standing there for a while, so you can get different angles and whatnot. I'm happy with the images that I've looked at to this point. But then the fun part to me is the in-between photos. The photos that you take, in the rain. But the photos you take, you get a little bit more creative juices flowing because you kind of get to take the people outside and do that. Now, as far as shooting all the family photos, we just basically picked a spot right outside the venue because that was, we didn't want to move people all around Granville Island, and we just wanted to kind of get those done so that they have those. So we shot them pretty much all the exact same way.
And that's where I actually stepped in. I think I was very good about not getting involved until that happened.
What's that?
Until it was time for the family, and then selfishly I wanted to get my family shot out and left, get out of there.
Yeah, you're the youngest kids.
Kids go have a nap.
Yeah, yeah, you're so the youngest.
I just took charge. Okay, everybody over here. Now, all right, you guys get out. My kids, all right, see you later.
Yeah, and we did that. And so we just basically ran everyone through, and that was, all pretty quickly. And I shot them all at pretty much, 50 mil at like a aperture of like a somewhere between a 7 and an 8, just to make sure that everyone was going to be in focus, because, that's sometimes an issue. Mm-hmm. And then we moved on to the fun stuff, and we did all kinds of different looks. But of course, like the last wedding, it rained the entire time that it was time for photos, which kind of makes for some neat photos and nice even light, but your gear getting wet at the same time, so that's not fun. And so I was holding an umbrella over my own head at some points. My wife was holding it over my head, and then I was shooting them, and they all had umbrellas. So again, the photos are going to look really good, but that's not the most fun way to do it.
No.
If I had my choice, I would have had a much nicer sunny day, but that just is not. And it had been nice all the way through the morning as far as nice being not raining. Mm-hmm. And it rained the entire window we had for photos.
And then stopped.
And then stopped. As soon as it was time for us to go back inside, then cleared up. It was clear.
That was beautiful. Yeah.
So not, it wasn't meant to be as far as the blue sky shots that day. But again, it's fun to kind of problem solve on the go. Okay, where are we going to do this so that they stay dry, so my gear stays dry, so that it still looks good?
To me, it's always the gear, because you think about the guys are either in a rental tux or the shirts that they were wearing that they're not going to wear again.
Yeah.
My sister's not going to wear that dress again.
No.
So my attitude is always, well, you don't want to ruin it, but on the other hand, go crazy.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, I don't want my lenses getting soaked.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
So I'll stand under the cover. You guys go out there.
Yeah.
Boom.
And it wasn't a downpour. It was definitely raining, but it wasn't a downpour. And so I basically tried to find some overhead covers, like some trees where I could stand. I also eventually just figured, hey, I can hold an umbrella that I had brought to use with flash just as an umbrella to keep me dry. And so I did a lot of that. What's another interesting thing that I found out is when you photograph people with umbrellas, because not really a thing for me, a black umbrella, which is what they have, looks good in a photo, but really kills the light if they hold it too close to their faces. Uh-huh. And so as I was shooting, I quickly had to, make them adjust either the position of the umbrella, sort of bring it so it wasn't quite overhead, or raise the umbrella up a little higher just so that it wasn't killing all the light on their faces. So, again, learning as you go, I guess you just have to be a problem solver in this situation.
Yeah. I remember because I shot your wedding and it was the same thing. You guys had umbrellas.
Yeah, and black ones, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So light killers.
So for me, the wedding was, great because I brought zero cameras to the wedding. Now, I went and shot the barbershop in the morning, but then drove home, got ready to go to the wedding, and did not bring a single camera with me.
Yes, yeah.
Because my theory was, well, I flew all this way to be at the wedding.
Right.
Adam's going to take pictures. I'm sure everybody else will snap some, you know, crappy snapshots.
Your dad snap photos.
My dad shooting photos in the middle of the wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
That I couldn't, this is what I'm saying. I was a little surprised at that.
or not.
No, I was. I didn't think it was going to happen. But for me, I thought, well, I'd rather experience the wedding.
Right.
That's why I flew here for the experience. If I just wanted to see a bunch of photos, I could have stayed home and you could have emailed them to me.
Right.
And it would have been the same, same experience for me. So I didn't bring a camera.
Let me throw while you're going down that road. Let me just throw something in as a tip. So this is again another tip. I think I mentioned this last year when I shot my cousin's wedding. As far as shooting in the dark in a venue that's pretty dark for dance photos, not so much like the dance party photos, but the first dance isolated two people in the room that you're trying to photograph. So if anyone attempts this. Wildly useful is the video light.
Yes.
So I made use of this for the second year in a row, learning from last year. That video light is a perfect way to get focus. Mm-hmm. So that light isn't going to be powerful enough. It's not even going to show up in my photo because I'm going to overpower it with the flash, mm-hmm. but it is going to allow me to track focus perfectly.
Right.
So what I thought was funny is that at the end of the night, we did like the cake photos. Yep. And everyone's standing around with their point-and-shoots, iPods, iPads, wow. trying to take a photo, which will be completely black if not for my wife holding up the video light, helping everybody else get a half-decent photo. I was thinking, that we just made everyone have a decent photo because no one would have got anything in that situation.
How much vertical video did you see?
Way too much vertical video.
I didn't think I had to have a pregame talk with them, but I guess I did.
Yeah.
I should have.
Yeah, it should have been like a public service announcement about that. But anyways, again, for anybody who has the inclination to think about getting an LED light, LED light is a fantastic solution to getting focus in dark situations. So Amazon for those.
Check it out.
Everywhere on Amazon. So
see, my highlight of the wedding as well was leaving. We left at midnight. With the two kids, my kids fell asleep at around 10. We put them in the. Emily slept on the floor, and my son slept in the stroller, and off to the side. We just kept on partying.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was actually I wanted to mention that as well. No thanks to you. You were not a part of any of that. That was your wife being the bedtime ninja. I witnessed it firsthand. Oh,
the actual putting the kids down was my wife. Yes.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like that, by the way.
However,
that was the most incredible thing I've seen. Not so much your son, because he's two and you roll any kid in a stroll and they go to sleep. She put your four-year-old down.
On the floor. The hardwood.
Put her hand on her face. And as she rode, again, on the floor, on a gymnasium floor with a towel down, and as she rolled back and forth, she put her hand on her face, and she, like Zen magic, she just kind of gave it a little shh and done. Like 3 seconds, just asleep. And I honestly thought that was incredible.
And maybe 20 feet from the speaker.
Yeah. And that's where I feel like I've coined this term, the bedtime ninja.
Yes.
Yeah. That was unbelievable.
However, I did chip in later when it came time to go home.
Right.
Because we were.
I didn't see this.
We were staying about, I'll say it's about 15, 16 city blocks from the venue. Couldn't get a cab because we didn't have car seats.
Right.
So just strapped my daughter to my back with the carrier and walked home.
Oh, wow.
Walked home 16 blocks uphill, and my wife pushed my son in the stroller.
Wow.
That's how the Germans do it.
That's impressive. Yeah.
So that was it.
Oh, we should also mention, just because, you know, this is the talk about your sister's wedding episode, the dance photo part, because, again, we had a listener... email us not too long ago asking, like, saying he shoots some weddings and, you know, wanted to sort of, again, get a little bit more information about your technique, your dance floor technique. Mm-hmm. And with that, seeing that email, I thought, oh, I should try Al, the Al technique, the dance photo technique you've mentioned previously. And so I did this. Again, you were standing by to offer your setting suggestions. Mm-hmm. And so we did this with... just threw up one flash up in the corner of the room and sort of beamed it across the dance floor. Set low power, I think it was somewhere between 1/16th and 1/32nd power. And then had an on-camera flash in ETTL set to two stops under, I think is what you wound up with. And then pretty much, I don't remember what ISO I was shooting, but stuck it at a aperture of 5/6, and it was great. It was golden right off the bat. I didn't take that many dance photo shots, so I might have taken 30 or 40 shots, but I'm pretty sure there'll be some cool shots in there where you get some neat lens flare shooting. Again, the trick you had mentioned was shooting into that flash, and then you get all kinds of like cool lens flare, and it looks very European discotheque-ish. But I've never been. I've never been to Europe, so yeah. Actually, that's a lie. I have been to Europe,
but no discotheques.
Does Sweden count with Europe? Yeah, yeah. Are they part of the Europeans?
Yeah, I think they're Europe.
Yeah, Finland. I've been there.
Or what? What else would they be?
Yeah.
Asia.
Yeah, well, I just thought that they're the Finns and the Swedes. They're their own thing.
We still have a photo challenge to get to.
Oh, can we just leave that for next week?
No,
What's our time now?
Oh, we're way over.
Oh, so we're making up for our short one last week.
Yeah.
Okay,
so this week was action.
Yeah. Talk about mine.
Let's talk about yours. Okay, here's action. Here's black and white. We got the white background.
Yeah, I know what it is, so I don't need to look.
You know, you shot it.
Yeah.
No, this is great. It's making use of your new white background.
Yes. Hey, Sarah, can you run and jump?
Yes.
And that's what that was.
Well, that's nice to have that room, because your old white background didn't afford you that luxury.
And I had this could have been done in a really wide shot, which I have. But for the sake of having something quickly available for the challenge, I cropped it where there was no grayed out edges, because I would have had to take a brush to some of the parts. Because I told you about that huge white background, it's hard to evenly light the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
So you either end up kind of brushing it, or I need to aim three flashes at it, and that was only two flashes at the background. So I liked it as this composition because I thought my wife could put it on her phone as a background, and she did.
So. No, I like everything that's going on here. The where, you know, her arms up and one leg back, and really, I'm just describing what you're seeing now.
Yes, yes.
But so. I like how that all the composition of all that.
And again, if you're going to shoot white background, it's nice to have your subject wearing something dark.
Yes.
That's what I'm finding. Is light on light is can look cool too, but dark on light is super easy.
Yep, it does make things really
for black easy and white. Lifting. For black and white, yeah.
Okay. Let's look at mine. Here's my action shot. Said the dead silence.
Water wings. It looks like he's having fun.
Here's the thing is we drove to the pool yesterday and forgot the water wings. Thought, oh, you know, we're not going all the way back. So I went and bought him water wings at Canadian Tire.
Okay.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah.
And they had two options. They had, okay, here's the small ones and then the big ones. The small ones are for like kids like 12 to 15 kilograms. And the other one was kids 18 to 30 kilograms.
Okay.
I bought the big ones. I thought, I'll get the big ones because, you know, those are the big ones.
These are the heavy hitters.
Yeah, my kid is, forget what he is, he's like 15 kilos, 14 kilos, and he was pretty much going under with the ones that handle the 30 kilos.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is, if you're buying your water wings at Canadian Tire, grain of salt, people.
It's like the 8-man tent that sleeps two people.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah, he had a great time. He's decided he's going to be a little frogman, and so at 1.5, he jumps in the water by himself.
Yeah.
Whether he has water wings or not.
Yeah.
And he can't float without them.
Right.
So you have to be on him at all times. But here he is having fun, splashing around. Not much more to be said other than...
So this is a middle of the day? What time of day are we talking?
It's around 3:30, something like that.
And this is, where is this taken?
Steveson Pool.
Okay, so an outdoor pool.
Outdoor pool, but the key here is allows me to get this shot is getting in the pool with my camera.
Right, yeah, it's the angle, yeah.
I actually took my gamer, my 5D Mark II.
Wow. Because, into the water.
Yeah. Because I wanted to get video of him jumping in.
Okay.
And I thought, all right, well, I guess I have to take the good camera. And I took it in. There wasn't that many people around, not too many kids. So I could get in there, get the camera right down water level. And that's how you end up getting these shots.
Okay.
Now, later in the day, a few more people showed up. And there's a lot of people with their iPhones basically taking bird's eye view shots of their kids. They weren't getting in the pool. They were standing way above and getting shots at the top of their head.
And those look terrible.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I never found out. I just, in my anger, I went and threw their phones in the pool.
Right, yeah.
Like, there you go. I did you a favor. Move on down the line. So, there you go. That's this week's challenge.
Great. Kind of, we don't have a topic, right?
No, we're done.
Well, yeah, we're good. We've covered it.
You know, we're going to go swimming.
It was how to shoot your sister's wedding.
Next week's challenge.
Okay.
You mentioned it before. You're taking no snapshots.
None.
I find myself the same that I look at the snapshots that people send me, and they always give me the disclaimer, oh, it's not as good as you take. And right. I think, I like this shot. I like these snapshots that you send. So that's next week's challenge. Snapshot.
Okay.
Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and Two Hosers Facebook.
All right. You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com. Two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the stuff we just talked about.
Great.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.